The scripture reading today is Psalm 122. Hear the word of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was glad when they said to me, when they told me what to do. I did not rebel, become belligerent, insist on my own way. Rather, the response, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Was this an obligation, a duty, a discipline? Yes. But in this psalm, the power of joy and this journey lies just below the surface of these words. And the response is, oh my goodness, we get to go now, finally, to the house of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for the images of Scripture, for the word that calls out to us and invites us to come into your holy presence. Call us, feed us, equip us, we pray, as we ponder your holy word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever I was under the authority of my mother running a Christian education program, and that would have been from birth through my senior year in high school, we began every children's church gathering with this verse from Psalm 122. The adult said, "I was glad when they said unto me," and the children would respond with gusto, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Now, I had no idea that the place we were going was Jerusalem, that that was the call to the 12 tribes of Israel. I thought it was a call to me, to come to my church, where my family and friends worshiped, where we had annual rituals that I looked forward to, and vacation Bible school, and celebration, and lots of singing and fun. I know now that the people of Judah made at least 3 annual pilgrimages up to Jerusalem for high holy days. This psalm was a traveling song, a psalm of ascent, a song for people on the way to worship. Feet of all sizes moving, some walking briskly, others ambling, others limping along. Maybe a strong granddaughter or grandson at either side to help them along. Traveling together, bound together by the ties to the God of the nation and the city. And then stepping into the walls of Jerusalem, through the Jaffa, the sheep, the Herod's gate, the lion's gate, the dung gate, the Damascus gate, and maybe the golden gate. We know that not all 12 tribes consistently held an allegiance to Jerusalem, but as King David and King Solomon reigned over a united tribal system, Jerusalem was the place to be. Scholars believe that this type of psalm would be sung at the dedication of future temple walls as an antiphonal choir piece, where the choristers stood around the congregation, as recorded in Nehemiah chapter 12. And they would sing their hearts out. Listen to the description from the book of Nehemiah when the wall of Jerusalem was dedicated. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. The company of all the singers gathered together from the circuit around Jerusalem and from the villages. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great companies that gave thanks and went in procession. One went to the right on the wall of the Dung Gate. The other company of those who gave thanks went to the left. And I followed them with half of the people on the wall, above the Tower of the Ovens, to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim. So both companies of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And the women and children also rejoiced. The joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Also the word of the Lord. Can't you just hear the joy, the thanksgiving ruminating out from the people in worship? To go and to give thanks and praise to the Lord, and to trust the judgments of the Lord, to step inside the gates and know that justice will prevail. For justice systems had been set up across the land, and people gave thanks for them. From Deuteronomy chapter 16, you shall appoint judges and officials throughout your tribes in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall render decisions for the people. You must not distort justice. You must not show partiality, and you must not accept bribes. For a bribe blinds the eye of the wise and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Justice and only justice you shall pursue, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. To be in Jerusalem, giving thanks for justice, and if justice had not been done, seeking justice, like having your case heard here before the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. And then a call to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, this day and every day. And then there comes a blessing. May all who love you prosper. Safety, security, justice, peace for all who enter within these walls. Safety, security, justice, peace. But alas, what happened? We know that Jerusalem will face destruction. The destruction of Solomon's temple by the Babylonians. It becomes the first of many conquests. Construction, destruction, devastation. Temples rise and fall and rise and fall. And during Jesus' day, King Herod has built a new temple. And Jesus looks out across the Kidron Valley and weeps over Jerusalem. If you had only known the things that make for peace. What do we need to know, Jesus? What have we missed? We know that Jerusalem is not a safe place for you. Jesus cannot be expected to be judged fairly in his ministry. And in fact, he will experience a mockery of a trial in Jerusalem. And before this, Jesus pretty much stays away from Jerusalem until in each gospel it says he turns his face toward Jerusalem. And in retrospect, we know that this turn was filled with resolution, a willingness to face death for us. Jerusalem is not a safe place at all. I went in 1989 with the Presbyterian Peacemaking Program. I explored every quarter of the old city. We as a group visited so many holy sites across the country and the occupied territories. We were guests in a Jewish settlement in Ramallah and a kibbutz up in Galilee. In the evening, we spent most of our time with Christians who could trace their lineage back to the very first disciples of Jesus. There was no peace. In fact, great tension. Very hard to live with, but they did it by God's grace, and they do it today. That trip shook me to the core. No one felt safe, and the situation has not gotten any better over the decades. Next year in Jerusalem is uttered at the end of the liturgy of that Jewish high holy days in homes, in synagogues, and temples of Jews spread out across the globe, the diaspora. This phrase becomes apocryphal, a longing for a future day when the Messiah reigns in peace from Jerusalem. As Christians, we turn to Revelation 21, and we see Jerusalem descending. I read, "Then one of the seven angels who had seen the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations." As you know, we can still step into the gates of Jerusalem, the old city. But on Temple Mount, we see the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. No earthly Jewish temple for us. We will find a wailing wall where we can pray and write our prayers and push them into the crevices as mortar between the stones to claim our hope for peace, the peace of Jerusalem. Is Jerusalem lost to us? Is Mount Zion gone? The Temple Mount, the city, the land? When the people of Judah were exiled in Babylon, they sat down by the waters and wept for Zion, the land, the temple, justice. Could I propose to you that God plants into every human heart a desire for a perfect place where we can join arms with others and travel there? Step in, experience it, give thanks, find perfect peace and justice for all. The Garden of Eden was such a place. And so will be the kingdom of heaven, the new Jerusalem. I appreciate African American spirituals, a genre of music that came out of a deep understanding of the salvation story, of what it means to be in bondage and to gain freedom, a longing to sing the songs of Zion, because on this side of glory, there would be no relief. Life was often too much to bear. And so the images and songs of the next land, the sweet by and by, brought relief. And so we sit down in our day and we weep for ourselves in this pandemic and for others. We weep for those who mourn, who are sick, who are coughing, who are weak, who are trapped in unemployment or underemployment, and those who experience racial bias. We think of places where there is much strife and we weep for Israel and Lebanon and Syria, for Hong Kong. Do you know that there are currently 15 countries in Africa that are engaged in a war or tensions after a war? And we imagine Zion, and Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and weeps, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave you within one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." You see, Jesus is predicting the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. This comes true in 70 AD, when the Roman Emperor Vespasian and his son Titus carry out this devastation. Jesus weeps. And then he moves into the temple to clean out the money changers. He calls it a den of robbers for people who were buying and selling. It was supposed to be a house of worship, a place of prayer. And then Jesus spends each day teaching in the temple. And although people are spellbound by his teaching, the religious authorities are always looking for a way to kill Jesus. And Jesus becomes the cornerstone for a new temple built with his body broken for us and resurrected for eternal life. Jesus becomes our Zion, the one to whom we can steal away to in the midst of the weeping of our lives. It is Jesus who brings the kingdom of heaven right into our midst. I think it was good theology, thanks, Mom, to teach little 4- and 5-year-olds and high school kids to go to the house of the Lord, to love, to worship God. We've been thinking carefully this past year at NPC about following Jesus. We've been asked to take up our crosses and learn and follow him into the world, to move with his power that makes for peace. We're to join in working for justice and peace in our homes, our neighborhoods, our work, and our schools. It was a big deal when the District of Columbia became the nation's capital on November 17, 1800. Since the U.S. Constitution was adopted, there have been 3 locations of the Capitol where the Congress has met: Philadelphia, New York, and here in Washington, D.C. And since I've lived and toured around in this eastern part of the country, I've encountered 6 other locations that claim a moment as the capital of our nation. You probably know them. Baltimore, Maryland, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, Princeton, New Jersey, Annapolis, Maryland, and yes, Trenton, New Jersey. There is always a sense of pride and profound hope when our nation's leaders are working in our midst. Why? Because we, the people, put a lot of hope in seats of government and nations that each will be a type of Zion for all the citizens. In fact, we might even begin to believe that government or a political party might save us. We might put all of our trust and our hope in human institutions. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people over the years in ministry that equate the current nation of Israel as God's nation, as Zion. But Jesus, in his ministry and teaching, ultimately dies for true peace that begins in your heart and mine. And we practice it every day, or at least every Sunday, when we confess our sins before God and receive forgiveness. And then this peace and forgiveness extends out through the body of Christ around the globe, people who follow Jesus in every tribe and nation. Most days the church is scattered, salt and light, leaven and hope, dressed in dazzling, dirty clothes, sleeves rolled up, to be engaged in the world, to be agents bringing peace and justice. And then we get together in worship. Yes, we will work through and in institutions, but we must keep our hearts attuned to the body of Christ, to our cornerstone, to the new Jerusalem. I was glad when they told me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I still love to worship. It is a glorious taste of Zion, of the new Jerusalem, to step in through the doors and join with others and be seated and revel in the presence of God. The word proclaimed, music of all genres that give glory to God, and rest in the promises of the sacraments. I've always learned as a pastor where people sit in the sanctuary, and I remember where they seat when they are not here present in worship. And I love it when you come to me as a pastor or another pastor or a friend, and you tell us to be extra nice this coming Sunday because you've invited a friend to worship with you. And you want them to have an amazing experience of God. And we all try to be nice. But what is absolutely amazing is to see God working in the lives of so many people, calling them to worship our sovereign God and saving Son. And what a joy to be in a congregation and begin to see new faces over time, gathered for worship, of people who have paid attention to their visitation from God. And they've joined the journey here, for they now too say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you that you keep issuing invitations to people in our condominiums, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our world, to come to you. Thank you in this time that you have planted us in so many places where we can walk with people and share with them the pictures, the visions of your perfect peace and hope. Continue to prepare each of us for the places that you have for us here and in eternity. For we know that weeping may last for the night, But joy comes in the morning through Jesus. Amen.
Zion is calling, the stars soon be.